9:05. Welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show. News Talk 790 KFYO and online at KFYO.com. Radio Pup app also available for you to download. Listen to KFYO programming absolutely free. Phone lines open to you, 770-5790, toll free 1-800-687-0790. And early voting continues in the runoff elections. And one of the most, if not the most back and forth heated races in the primary runoffs is between Dan Patrick and David Dewhurst for the position of lieutenant governor. One of them will be the next lieutenant governor here in the state of Texas. And joining me right now to discuss his campaign, Texas State Senator and Republican candidate for lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick. Good morning, Mr. Patrick. How are you?
Hey, Chad. It's always Dan. Thank you. And before we start, I want to congratulate Bob Duncan as the new chancellor of Texas Tech. He'll do a terrific job, and also salute once again Ken Hance, my great friend, who has done a tremendous job, and all the people of Lubbock. We carried Lubbock in the first round. Folks like Connie Curry and other great leaders in the community helped us win Lubbock, and we intend to win Lubbock again. We were in town last week, and we've been out to Lubbock and probably almost once a month in the campaign, and it's a very important area, and we hope everyone will get out and vote for Dan Patrick between now and the election on Tuesday.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and again, just more kind words there for Bob Duncan, and a lot of people excited about his move over to the chancellor's office. Let me ask you about your campaign. Obviously, there's been a little bit of back and forth. You've been attacked just recently, and it seems like to me, and looks like to everybody else, that this attack has backfired, either on David Dewhurst or on Jerry Patterson, on both. They went after your in the 1980s. That you were in the hospital, and David Dewhurst has said that he did not launch this attack, that it was all on Jerry Patterson. Seems like Patterson has blamed a little bit of it on Dewhurst. Do you want to respond to what they had to say about you?
Well, here's what I would quickly say, Chad, for your listeners to think about. During this runoff campaign, it's been 3 months, David Dewhurst has not run one single ad of why he should be reelected or what he's going to do in what would be his 16th year as lieutenant governor. And if you can't get it done in 12, you're probably not going to get it done in four more. He spent $3 or $4 million attacking, not just recently, but the entire campaign, with outrageous attacks and false attacks and or those built on great distortions. If you look at my campaign on television, I'm the one catching the kitchen sink, not throwing it. We have defended, but we have tried to focus on the issues. And there are real differences between the two of us. And it's fair game to criticize one's voting record or their leadership record, but not personal attacks. We've not attacked David Dewhurst one time personally in this entire year. We've tried to run a clean race and a positive race and focus on issues. We've defended where we could. In terms of this, Chad, as you know, I'm a talk show host like you. I have been in Houston since 1988. I've never made it a secret that 30, and actually go back to 1982, so 32 years ago, I had a bout with depression. I've talked about it on the air because I think it's important. Chad, you're a real person with a real family and real life issues, and so am I. I'm now over 60. I've lived a long life. And I think when we in the public eye have an opportunity to share that we've overcome things in life, that's important, because it might help some people who are listening to us, whether it's at a speech or on our radio show. So I've never hit it. Everyone, even newspapers, that don't normally support strong grassroots conservatives like me, have said this is the lowest of low blows. The Dallas Morning News and Chronicle said Dewhurst has scraped the bottom of the barrel. And make no mistake, Chad, this is not about Jerry Patterson. He finished fourth and lost. He doesn't have any money to hire all these investigators. He doesn't have... You know, he's on Facebook with all these ads. Dewhurst campaign is paying for everything. The Dewhurst campaign was behind this attack and hiding behind Jerry, and that's even more offensive. So I would ask people, as they think about who they want to be the next lieutenant governor, I've been in the Senate since 2007. I was chair of education, and everyone thought we did a terrific job last session fighting against CSCO, keeping Common Core out of Texas, reducing standardized tests, those big state tests from 15 to 5, and putting more focus on career, not only college. I've been on finance 2 years, transportation, criminal justice, health and human services. I've been the leading conservative in the Senate based on all the conservative report cards, over 16,000 votes. So I'm ready for the job. I'm prepared for the job. And seven senators have endorsed me. Not one has endorsed Dewhurst. 28 House members have endorsed me. Not one has endorsed Dewhurst. 90% of the conservative and Tea Party groups have endorsed me. Dr. James Dobson, formerly of Focus on the Family, Ralph Reed of Christian Coalition. I mean, I can go down the long list. Mike Huckabee, governor, have endorsed our campaign because of my solid conservative record on social and fiscal issues. And that's what we've really talked about. I'm not running against Dewhurst. I'm running for the things that I believe in the conservative Republicans of Texas want completed, which is border security, lowering property taxes, not appointing half the Democrats to be chairman of committees, as Dewhurst has done every session, focus on water and transportation on an as-you-go basis and not build up $20 billion in debt because we kicked the can down the road. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, let me ask you this. You brought up earlier that there are some real differences between you two. What are some of those differences? Because it seems like when you get into a Republican primary, you know this, on 90% of the issues, maybe more than that, you two are going to agree with each other. Republicans are going to agree with each other. What are those main differences when it comes to policy? What are those differences between you and David Dewhurst?
It's a great question, and here are the main differences. One is leadership. For example, as I just mentioned at the end, we have 31 senators, 19 Republicans. We'll have 20 this next session. We'll pick up a seat, and 11 Democrats. In every session since Dewhurst has been lieutenant governor for 12 years, he has given, of the 12 Democrats, half of them committee chairmanships. That's too much power in the hands of the minority party. We work with the other party, but we don't give them control. I will not appoint half the Democrats as chairman of committees. Now, what does that mean, Chad? That means that we'll have conservatives who right now are on the sidelines without the powerful chairmanship of key committees to put them in positions of power, and we will pass more conservative legislation on a number of issues. Number two, difference in leadership. And this isn't a personal attack. This is leadership issues. Right now, Tommy Williams, who was the chairman of finance, the most important committee in the Senate, it writes the budget. The chairman of finance resigned from the Senate in October of last year. To this day, Chad, we don't have a new chairman of finance. We haven't had one finance meeting since last August, and we're only 6 months away from session. It takes a good year in advance to start working on and building the budget. I've been on finance 2 years. 15 of the members, that's how important it is on the Senate. David Dewhurst is asleep at the wheel. He's not paying attention. We should have had an interim finance chairman, and we should already be having hearings. As chair of education, I've already had hearings. We've already begun the work for next session. Three, we should have never had the filibuster. Had that filibuster never happened, and by the way, it was Bob Duncan, Senator Bob Duncan and myself, who ended up rallying that Senate that night in the filibuster because David Dewhurst just quit on the job. He was removed from the chair. Bob Duncan took over and did a heroic job in a terrible situation, and I was up at the podium with Bob trying to corral that situation and get it to a conclusion. That should have never happened. And what it allowed, Chad, is Wendy Davis to be a rock star with the Democrats, put a bigger target than we already have on Texas. That should have not happened. And then, of course, the most famous incident during the pro-life debate, 12 hours on the floor we were, 25 amendments we were fighting back, and in the middle of that, David Dewhurst left and went to the Austin Land and Cattle Company with his political consultant to have a couple of glasses of wine, chicken, steak, whatever. He changes the story every week. That's leadership. And I think the lieutenant governor, I appreciate his public service, and he's done some good things, and we've worked together on things. I think he's lost his focus on the job.
Let's go back
and
to
so
that
that's
night.
The key. You have to have a strong leader. Yes, sir.
Let's go back to that night. Let's say you're lieutenant governor that night. Yeah. How does that night change, in your opinion?
Changes dramatically, and not just me. I would say any senator. The decision that morning was, will there be a filibuster or not? And a filibuster is an important tool for any senator. It allows them to stand up and speak on an issue that they care about. So I support the filibuster rule. However, in a special session, what happened was, Chad, we had four bills to pass in the special session. That's all we could pass. The governor allowed us to pass four. We got down to the last day with only 13 hours. And a special session lasts 30 days. You must stop at the 30th day. We got down to the last day. Do you know we'd only passed one out of the four? So it was mismanagement of the clock, again, not focused on the job. And so, first of all, I would never have allowed us to be in that position, Chad. We wouldn't have been down to 13 hours. That's why Wendy was able to run out the clock. Secondly, and what people don't realize is The bill left the Senate incomplete. It went to the House without the ban on abortion at 5 months. And because of that, the House amended it, had to come back, and that set up the filibuster. So I would have never allowed the bill to leave the Senate without the ban on abortion at 5 months. We all voted for it when it came back. The lieutenant governor should have known better. So, in other words, he allowed that whole moment to happen. Other things happened that he didn't do to set it up. Then the last thing is, on the night of the day of the filibuster, I turned in a green card, because five senators can stop a filibuster. You have to have someone to do it in 5 seconds. And five of us did that. I was the person that turned in the green card to David Dewhurst at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I have my members that will stand up and second the move to stop the filibuster. He refused to ever acknowledge me. We could have stopped that filibuster early in the day or 2 o'clock and let her talk for a few hours and stop it. And Chad, and that's why I go back to Bob Duncan. It was Bob Duncan at the dais at 15 minutes before midnight was the first time he could get a chance because of the way David Dewhurst had boggled the entire event. It was Bob Duncan who turned to me and recognized me on the Senate floor. And I stood then and said, I move the previous question. And that stopped the filibuster. It was her third point of order that she was out of order in addition. That stopped the process, Chad. And then we had a vote. The problem was we ran out of time and the clock ran out. Had anyone been in charge that night and focused that day, we would have stopped that early. And so what was the consequence? Yes, we came back and passed the bill, but the truth was it made Wendy Davis a rock star. It's going to cost Greg Abbott another $20 million on top of the $20 million he had to spend to beat her. And one other point here. The other thing I would have done that day is, as lieutenant governor, once you were in that position, Chad, of there are only 13 hours left and she could talk for 13 hours, I would have passed the transportation bill, which had not been passed, which we did in 15 minutes. I would have passed, we did it in the next session. I would have passed the other bill that needed to be passed, and I would have adjourned, Chad. I would have just adjourned before noon.
Right.
Wendy Davis would have never gotten on the floor. I would have adjourned before noon, and then Rick Perry would have called us back, which he did in 10 minutes, and we'd had another session to pass one bill, the pro-life bill. So in other words, it's again, I appreciate his public service, but this was a lack of leadership that put us in that position, a lack of leadership that gives the Democrats too much power as chairman, a lack of leadership that has not appointed a finance chair in 8 months. I mean, he knows we don't have a finance chair, and he's done nothing about it.
Let me ask you this. We all know your position on immigration. I mean, that has been a cornerstone of your campaign.
Yes, sir.
If you're lieutenant governor, and you have a crystal ball right now, let's look ahead to the next legislative session. What are some other priorities? Real quickly, what are some other priorities that you want to get through that you think your leadership can get through?
Property taxes is a real key, Charles. I mean, Chad. I'm thinking of Charles Perry, who's probably going to be running for the Senate. He's a great conservative. Sorry, Chad. I was thinking of Charles already. Chad, one of the key building blocks is to own your own home, and when you pay for it, actually own it. In Texas, because of our sky high property taxes, that our lieutenant governor has not done anything about. Because he doesn't understand, you have to disconnect the tax rate from the value increase. We can reduce your property tax rate, but if we don't control the value that it goes up, the appraisal value where it goes up 7%, 8%, or 9% a year, then any tax cut is erased almost immediately by the increase in value. So I have filed bill after bill as senator, and I've been on finance 2 years, and not one of my bills to seriously reduce property taxes has ever gotten out of committee. And the reason is, you know, for folks who do not know, the lieutenant governor, why is he the most powerful position in Texas? That's what people say. I would never tell Greg Abbott that. But the reason is, Chad, is we appoint every chairman of every committee in the Senate. The lieutenant governor is the president of the Senate. Much like Harry Reid runs the Senate in Washington, well, the lieutenant governor runs the Senate in Texas. So 98% of what you want to see happen as lieutenant governor happens. And 98% of what you don't want to see happen doesn't happen because you hold that power. Well, He has never supported my bills getting out of that committee, getting out to the floor and out to the Senate. Think of your property taxes, real quick, 10 seconds. Think of your property taxes as a seesaw. As the value goes up today, the other half of the seesaw goes up with you because your taxes go up with your value. But think of that seesaw in this way. As your value goes up, I want your property taxes to go down, your effective tax rate to go down to offset the increase in the value of your home, to no more than 3 or 4%. Now, what is that? Why is that important? The rule of 72 says whatever you divide into 72 doubles in that time. So if your value, Chad, when your house goes up 8%, 8 into 72 is 9. In 9 years, if your value goes up 8% a year, your taxes are going to double. You can't afford that, Chad. I don't think the radio station gives you more than a 3 or 4% raise every year, or most businesses don't. And so you can't afford, if your increase in salary is 3% a year and your property taxes, if you own a home, go up three times as much. So what I want to do again is, as your value goes up, the effective tax rate must go down to no more than 3 or 4%. Now, divide 3 or 4 into 72, what does that mean? That means your taxes wouldn't double for 20-some years, Chad. And so counties and cities and school districts say, well, wait a minute. We need 8% a year. Why? Why does government need two or three times the rate of population and inflation growth? And if there's a situation where they do, Chad, and it might be, there may be something, more police, more fire, a fast-growth school district, whatever it might be, then they can come to the people, Chad, and say, this is why we need more tax dollars, and people get to vote on it. Right now, our governments across the state are getting these automatic 7, 8, 9% increases in their budget based on property value of commercial and homeowners going up every year, and people have no say over it. I'm going to put a stop to that.
Visiting with Texas State Senator Dan Patrick in the runoff for the Republican primary for Texas Lieutenant Governor. Dan Patrick, I'm going to give you 1 minute. Tell people why they should vote for you over David Dewhurst.
Well, again, I would ask your listeners to think about the ads they've seen on TV. They've seen issues about ads. I mean, ads about issues for me, what I'm going to do. I'm asking for your vote. You haven't seen one ad from the current lieutenant governor of why he should be reelected. It's been negative, 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 attack, attack, attack. All false, outrageous, or greatly distorted. So, first of all, ask who's actually asked for your vote and told you what he's going to do, and it would be me. Secondly, I come prepared for the job. I've been in office since 2007. Again, out of 16,000 votes, I've missed six or eight. Out of 650 days, I've missed one. Last session, the lieutenant governor was not on the Senate floor about a third of the time and left us in key debates. And as I've stated on the show this morning, is not focused on even putting a chair in place today in the most important committee we have since last October. You need someone. This is not about who's the nicest guy. He's a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. It's about who's going to do the job for Texas, secure the border, protect your job, continue to reform our education, focus on water and transportation, and lower your property taxes, and who's ready to serve. Seven senators have publicly endorsed me. 28 House members have endorsed me, and I go down the long list of Christian leaders and business leaders. The largest police department in Texas, Houston, second largest, Dallas. The majority of sheriffs on the border, which are Democrats, have supported me because they know I'm serious about securing the border and making that a priority. So I ask for your vote. It's going to be a low turnout election, folks. Every vote's going to count. We carried Lubbock the first time around in all the surrounding areas, but we need. We need the help from West Texas, and I've been out there so many times and been to Trinity Church and met with so many business leaders and grassroots leaders from the greater Lubbock area. You all have been very, very gracious to me and my wife.
Dan Patrick.
We ask for your vote.
Thank you very much. Have a
thank
good
you,
one.
Chad. Great questions. Bye.
We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
Now's the time to treat your elm trees for elm leaf beetles. Call Tree Loving Care, 785-TREE.